Working on it? Yeah. You know, our mission as a church is to take as many people to heaven with us as we can. And we're to grow in our faith. Hopefully that's what we're doing this morning. And we grow in our faith so we can reach more people for Christ. I mean, it's that simple. I want to ask you a few questions this morning. A little quiz. I know I didn't let you study for it, but just a little self-examination, and just consider these questions. Do you feel guilty for relaxing when you know you have a lot of stuff to do? Yes or no? Yeah. You know, do you often feel dissatisfied or unhappy with yourself or your situation in life? Again, yes or no? I mean, do you say or post things that aren't a real honest representation of your life so that people will think better of you? Do you tend to see what's wrong with things rather than seeing what's right with things? Do you use these phrases, "I have to," "I must," "I ought to," "I should be able to"? Do you use those phrases a lot? Do you ever feel frustrated with God because you think his expectations are unreasonable for you? And the one last one, does your relationship with God seem more like a burden than a blessing? Friends, if you said yes to any of those questions, and I'm going to guess we all said yes to some of those questions, to some degree, you're buying into a thing that I would call perfectionism. I mean, what's perfectionism? Well, it's trying to prove my worth by attempting to be perfect in life. And I have been in ministry many, many years now. And my observation of people is that a lot of people struggle with perfectionism in their life. You know, when you first become a Christian, we tend to understand grace, and that's what we've been talking a lot about. And the fact is that God takes all of our sins, and we can give them to God, and God takes them, and God forgives us. He forgives our past. God gives us power in the present to kind of make it through life, and God secures our future for us. In other words, God promises that he'll give us eternity in heaven. And I think initially we go, wow, what a deal. You know, it can't be earned. You can't buy it. You just have to accept it. It's a free gift. And I think we understand that initially. Initially, you accept it. But inside, in the depths of who we are, we struggle with it. It sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Inside, you think, surely I have to help God out a little bit. You know, God must expect something from me. I must have to do something to gain God's approval. And what happens to many Christ followers is they fall into one of two traps in their life. I believe they're the two greatest enemies of grace. And that is legalism is one. Legalism is when you try to earn your status with God, earn God's approval through obeying rules. And so we become very rule-oriented for ourselves and for everybody else in our lives. Perfectionism is the other one when we try to prove our worth by trying to do things right or be perfect in our life. And there's an entire book in the Bible. It's the book of Galatians. It's a good read, by the way. And Paul writes the book to address the two common enemies of grace, legalism and this whole idea of perfectionism, trying to do things on our own. You know, Paul reminds us that we cannot earn grace, that we live in grace in our lives. You know, Galatians 3:3, it says, "You began your life in Christ with the Spirit. Now do you try to complete it by your own power? That's foolish. And we looked at this verse last week when we talked about dealing with guilt. Well, today I want to talk about making a bold move and changing things up and breaking free from that performance trap, that treadmill that we get on, and to allow God to change us. And here's what I promise you, that if you can grasp what we're going to talk about today, you will find a new level of joy in your life and freedom in your life, that you will actually find that following God becomes much, much easier. You know, first I want to point out what perfection does to us, how it works, and how it kind of derails us and messes us up. Because one of the things that happens is it stalls a lot of your plans in life. It kind of neutralizes your initiative. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have a project or something that you just can't seem to start? There's probably a lot of this going on right now. I mean, you want to start something. You know it's the right thing to do. You even think one of these days, but you never start. One of the possible reasons that you never start that thing, whatever it is perfectionism. You know, in your mind, you're waiting for the perfect circumstance, the perfect timing, the perfect environment. You know, some of you, you're waiting for the kids to get out of school or to get in school. Some of you are waiting until you have a certain amount of money before you do whatever it is that you've been putting off. And so what happens is you keep waiting and waiting and waiting for everything to be just right. And as a result of waiting for that perfect situation, you procrastinate, you put it off, you set that standard so high that it keeps you waiting and waiting and waiting for that perfect moment, and the perfect moment never comes. And in reality, what happens is that fear, and it is fear, because if it's not perfect, I'm afraid it won't work out. So that fear paralyzes you, and it keeps you from making a move in your life. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, if you wait for the perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. See, it'll stall your plans. It'll mess you up. And it'll sabotage your relationships, too. Anybody enjoy being around someone that's always correcting you? Nobody likes that. Nobody likes being nagged all the time, or corrected all the time, or straightened out all the time. It's aggravating, right? You know, the writer of Proverbs says, love forgets mistakes. Nagging about them parts the best of friends. None of us are perfect. The fact is, we all struggle, though, with perfectionism. To some degree, we all do. Perfectionism causes us to focus on the wrong things. It causes damage to relationships, and it's really rooted out of insecurity in our lives. Now, have you ever noticed when you don't feel good about yourself, you do not want other people feeling good about themselves? You ever notice that? In other words, if I don't like me, I certainly don't want you liking you. You know, the point is we want to be miserable together. That's what I want if I don't feel good. Perfectionists who are harsh, demanding, in fact, some of you are picturing someone else right now. The fact is they're very harsh and demanding on themselves. You know, because they hold themselves to some high standard. Doesn't mean they live up to it, but they hold themselves to that. And so what happens is they hold everybody else to that same standard. And it creates great pain in their life. And to be blunt, they become a great pain in everybody else's life, don't they? See, it damages our relationships. And perfectionism, if you're not careful, will steal your joy and happiness. And some of you need to hear this morning because you go, I'm not very happy. not very joyous. Well, it could be that you're struggling with trying to handle it all. You know, the writer of Ecclesiastes says, do not be excessively righteous and do not be overly wise. Why should you ruin yourself? Every time I read that verse, I think, that verse doesn't sound like it belongs in the Bible, does it? I mean, Solomon, the wisest man of his day, he wrote that entire book. And Solomon is saying, you can't take things to the extreme. See, he's not talking about genuine righteousness where you try and live right and do what God calls you to do. And he's not talking about real wisdom. He's talking about perfectionism there, where you strive for perfectionism in your life. In other words, any virtue can become a vice if you take it to the extreme. And I talk about this often, that we need balance in our Christian lives. You know, why should you, what? Ruin yourself. Why should you ruin yourself? You know, some versions translate that and they say, why should you make yourself miserable? You know, in your mind, you have a picture of yourself, don't you? And that picture of yourself, that's what you put on like a job application, right? It's the ideal you. It's not the real you, but it's the ideal you. You know, singles, you might want to pay attention. It's the person that shows up for the first date. See, there's always a gap between who you'd like to be and who you are. Between the ideal you and the real you. And what happens is we've got this ongoing conversation in our head all the time. You know, and so we mess up and it's kind of like, well, shape up, come on. You know better than this. Are you kidding me? Seriously. You know, get your act together, Damon. Seriously, not again, not again. And the fact is, we think somehow when we talk to ourselves that way that it's going to motivate us. You know, that constant berating. You know, I can't believe I did that again. And friends, you're absolutely wrong. It will backfire on you. The fact is, you that idea that you want to be perfect, as you continue to challenge yourself, I got to be perfect, I got to get this together. The fact is, it just perpetuates that feeling of not being good enough. And it will rob your joy. It will rob and steal your happiness. I mean, some of you learned to be perfectionists growing up. And here's the good news in that. If you learned it, you can unlearn it. The fact is, many of you were perfectionists before you became Christian. So when you took that step, you said, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. What you did, that little voice in your head, the voice that's always telling you're wrong, you messed up, you decided, mistakenly, you decided that it's God's voice now. So it's God going, come on, get it together. What are you doing? Seriously, get it together. God is not a big critic in the sky. God does not critique your every little move in life. There is a way out of that treadmill of perfectionism, and it's not found in therapy. It's not found taking pills. It's not found watching talk TV. In fact, that'll mess you up. God can lead you out. God can get you out of that off that treadmill in your life if you let him. And God's ways are way, way better, way better. Isaiah, he writes, this is God speaking, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher, way higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's way out is a thing called grace. Why grace is so important. You know, God will lead us out of this. God will lead us out and help us unlearn perfection. And we do have to unlearn it by, first of all, changing your perspective in life. I want you to look around you right now. Look at other people around you. Go ahead. Come on. Come on, don't be afraid. It should be absolutely clear right now, nobody's perfect, right? Nobody's perfect. Change is always possible when you realize you're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. You know, the psalmist says, nothing is perfect except your word. It's talking about God's word there. Only God's word is perfect. It's why you need to build your life on living and breathing God's word in your life. That's why we spend time together talking about it. God's word leads you in the right direction. It always will. There is nothing else on this planet that's perfect. Stuff's messed up. Popular opinion, it's out to lunch. You know, what you learn growing up, a lot of the things you learn growing up are flawed. Only God's word is perfect. Only God's word can be counted on. And when you get God's word into your life, it starts you moving in the right direction. Writer of Ecclesiastes, he says, there's no one on earth who does what is right all the time and never makes mistakes. That includes you, and that includes me. There's a motto I remember hearing as a kid, and I kind of carried it through my life, and it might even be a sign of our culture today. And it's, I'm okay, you're okay. I'm okay, you're okay. It's not true. It's not true. The fact is, you can recite that all day long. You can quote it. You can go around and go, I'm okay, you're okay, and over and over and over. But inside, no matter how many times you say that, inside you're going, are you kidding me? I am not okay. And you're not okay. And because of God's grace, it is okay. Do you understand that? I mean, does it mean that God's not interested in us growing? No, God wants us to grow. Does it mean that when you mess up, that you do not have to repent? No, when you mess up, you have to repent. You have to go, sorry, God, I'm going to work on this. You know, does it mean that it's okay if you don't follow God's ways? No, God wants you to trust him. God wants you to follow him because you trust him. I mean, does it mean that God doesn't want you to change? No. God wants you to change. But it does mean that God's not waiting for you to change before he loves you. He's not waiting to look at your life and go, you know what? You're okay. You're okay. I'm with you. I'll see you through this. See, the first step to receiving God's grace and beginning to live in that grace is when you change your perspective and you realize you're not perfect. No one is. And that's okay, because God accepts you where you are and God will love you. And friends, that's grace. That's grace. It's a wonderful place to live. You know, when we yield to God, I believe it helps us get a handle on perfectionism. Again, the root of perfection, I think, is I want to be in control. If you can control everything in your life, life would be perfect, right? I mean, if I could control my spouse, I'd have a perfect marriage, right? If I could control my kids, they would never get in trouble. If I could control my career, things would be secure in my life. I mean, if I could control all the people around me, this world would be a better place. That is not true. And secondly, most of the things in our lives, the major things, you can't control anyway. I always ask, when a person struggles with controlling everything in their life, I'll just ask them, I say, who's stronger and better fit, you or God? I mean, what do you do What do you do when life gets out of control? Well, 1 Peter gives us a good answer. It says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on him. Any fishermen in the house? I love to fish. Deep sea fishing, though. But the fact is, to cast. What's it mean? Well, if you got a rod and reel, there comes a point where you got to let it go, don't you? You have to let the line go. That's a cast. There comes a point in your life where you have to cast. You have to let go. You have to let go. Because if you don't let go, there's no casting. The essence of casting is letting go. It's letting go. To overcome perfectionism, I believe you got to let things go. You got to relinquish your control. You got to let God handle some things. And if you want to start enjoying life again, if you want to live longer, you relax and you follow God's heart and you trust God and you let go. You let go. Love the proverb. It says, a relaxed attitude lengthens a person's life. Why is that? Well, you're not living with fear if you let go. Yeah, because you're not losing sleep, worrying and fretting and trying to figure out how you're going to get a handle on everything. You're not trying to carry everything on your own. The fact is, it begins to build and free you up. Suddenly, you don't have to be perfect to be happy. You don't have to be in control to be happy. And friends, I understand there are struggles in life. And there are problems in life. There are relational issues and family pressures and financial pressures and health issues and vocational demands and all this stuff. But friends, God still wants you to enjoy life in spite of the imperfections in your life. I mean, Paul said it this way. He says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. Here's the core. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Now I want you to just notice, he says, I have learned. Contentment does not come natural. It's not a natural instinct to be content. I mean, if you're going to be content, you have to learn some things. You have to let go of some things, cast them, so you can free yourself up. You have to yield to God. Yield to God's plans, not yours. Our culture says, I want what I want. God says, I got a better plan. Follow God's heart, friends. Go God's way in your life. You know, the fact is, God created this universe. And if God created this universe, and if God parted the Red Sea and delivered Moses and the Israelites from slavery, and if God gave David victory over Goliath, and if God safely delivered Daniel from the lion's den, and Jesus Christ walked out of the grave, if you believe that, friends, then trust God. Do you really think that your plan is better? Seriously. Yield to God. Follow God. Look at God's way. God is more than able. He's more than able. You know, the Christian life is about living boldly in God's grace in spite of the problems and the struggles and all the stuff that's around us. You know, Paul says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not for yourselves. It is a gift of God. Saved by grace, through faith. Faith in God's grace, it's how we got in the family. Faith in God's grace is how we continue living the Christian life. It's how you keep walking and being faithful, is trusting God's grace. It's why Paul writes this. He says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. See, we are not saved by making a promise to God, you know what, I'm going to try and be perfect, God. I'm going to try and be really, really good. You were saved by grace, to live in grace. Everything in life, it's a gift from God. Have you figured that out? The fact that you're alive, the fact you're here today, it's a gift of God's grace. The fact that you're breathing is a gift of God's grace. Absolutely everything that's good in your life, a gift of God's grace. Without God's grace, you have nothing, and I have nothing. You know, when God forgives you, grace. When God guides you or prompts you, grace. When God blesses your life in some way, it's grace. Your family is grace. Your friends are grace. Your opportunities that you have, that you may encounter this week, it's grace. It's all about grace, 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 grace. There is nothing in your life that you've earned. And I know every time I say it, people go, well, you know, I go to work every day and I earn my income. And I always say, who gave you that ability to earn it? If God hadn't given you the abilities, if God hadn't given you the talents, if God hadn't given you the intellect or the creativity or the strength, you could not earn what you earn. It is all by grace. And friends, it's about living in God's grace in our life. When you start living in God's grace every day, I will tell you, you will start enjoying life again because it's freeing. You're no longer shackled. You're no longer enslaved. You're free to chase and run after God and after the things of in this world that we enjoy. You know, John writes, he says, see how much the Father has loved us? His love is so great that we are called God's children. And I love this because he's making an emphasis. And so, in fact, we are. We are his children. When you give your life to God, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you become a follower of Jesus Christ. And you become a child of God. God's love is not based on your performance or your productivity. No, God's love, it's based on your position. You are a child of God now. How many parents we got in the house? All right. I know you didn't get a study for this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Are your kids perfect? Try and not fall on the floor. Do you still love them? Sure you do. Sometimes they make you want to pull your hair out, but you still love them. You love them in spite of their imperfections. You know, when your kids were like 2 or 3 years old, they brought you a picture that they had drawn, and it really was a scribble. And they go, it's a cat. you look at it, and what'd you do? You go, oh, that's great, that's lovely, that's beautiful. What were you saying to them? Well, you weren't telling them it was a Picasso, all right? What you were saying was, it's great. It's great for where you are in your life. It's great for your stage of maturity or development. You know, when my grandkids were first learning to walk, they stumbled around, they bumped into things, they fell down a lot. And when they fell down, what do you think I said to them? What's wrong with you? Why can't you walk? Suck it up, buttercup, get up and go. Let's try harder next time. Do you think that's what I said? No, no. I encouraged them, and I helped them, and I loved them. Do you love your kids at every stage of their life? Or are you waiting until they mature first? Oh, now I love you. Psalm some of you, you think God's waiting for you to mature and get everything together before he's going to smile on you, before he's going to give you the thumbs up and go, now you're okay. You know, now I can love you finally. It's a little rough for a while, but now I can love you. Friends, God loves you at every stage, unconditional love. God knows absolutely everything about you. Nobody else may know it, but God knows everything about you. And get this, he still loves you. It's called grace. It's amazing grace. It's the grace that we're to live in our lives. I mean, that's a life-changing grace. You know, Paul says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? See, God is not just with us in our lives, but God is for us. Do you understand the difference? I mean, the essence of the doctrine of grace could be summed up in those four words. God is for us. God is for you in your life. God is for you. And if you receive God's grace, and if you're part of God's family, God is for you. 100% for you. Now, if you're thumbing your nose at God, you're going, God, I don't need you. You know, I know you want me to follow you, but I want what I want, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and so I'm doing my own thing, God. Well, good luck with that, all right? But when you come to God with a sincere heart, and you come with honesty and humility, and say, you know what, God, I know I'm messed up, and I know I make mistakes, but I need your grace, and I need to go wherever it is you want me to go, and I'll follow you, and I may trip up 100 times, but God, I'm here, and I'm going to try. God is for you in that moment, and will continue to be for you. And I know it is a hard thing to accept for some people, because you were trained, you were customized, you were programmed from the time you were young to understand conditional love. You may not feel like you measure up. You maybe never have felt like you measured up. But when you come to God, you need to understand God is for you, period. It's called grace, period. And I challenge, some of you need to trade up in your life. You need to get off the perfection treadmill in your life. And you need to ask God for his peace, because when you trade in that treadmill for God's grace, it changes things. You know, Jesus Christ made an offer that's valid today, an offer that makes a difference in how you live, makes a difference in this world if you accept it into your life. He says this, he says, are you tired? Anybody tired today? Are you worn out? Anybody worn out? Burned out on religion? Can I get an amen? He says, come to me. Get away with me and recover your life. Get it back. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I love that line. You will not get everything right. We're to strive with everything in us to follow God, to follow God's heart. But guess what? You will fall once in a while. You will break some of God's principles, some of God's commands. From time to time, we all do. And you will break God's heart from time to time. But you don't have to worry, because those sins, those failures, those mistakes, if Christ is your Lord and Savior, they've already been forgiven. By grace, see, by grace, Jesus Christ became perfection for us. By grace, We've been saved and forgiven. Jesus came to this earth and he lived and he died and he walked out of the grave so that you could have life, so that you don't have to be perfect. Friends, you can live life forgiven and you can live boldly in grace when you understand that. I mean, some of you need to take the step and make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. In fact, some of you have been putting it off because you go, well, when I get good enough, give it up. You're never going to be good enough. You just come to God and you say, you know what? I believe Jesus died for me. And you give your life and then you start. And you're going to make mistakes. You're going to. But some of you need to take that step. Make it real. Make it today. And some of you, in fact, many of you, you need to be reminded you live in grace. You live in grace. You live in God's grace. There is power when you understand God's grace. That thing that's got you all jacked up, God's grace can free you of that. It's living in grace. It's living in grace. We'll have prayer teams down front. Again, some of you need to give your life to Christ. Just come down and say, I accept Christ today. Make it today. And some of you, that thing that you're trying to get a handle on, that you're trying to control, that thing that you just, it's got its grip in you and you can't get free, give it to God and start living in his grace. He'll give you the strength to get through. Come down and let a team pray for you. Let's stand for a word of prayer together. Live in God's grace. Live in God's grace this week. Live in God's grace every moment, every day. Let's pray. Our holy God, God, we thank you for your grace. It is enough. It's more than enough. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just pour that grace out. That thing, that burden, that struggle, that thing that we just keep beating ourselves up about, that sin, those mistakes. God, I pray that your grace would just pour out on this congregation. Some people be set free today. Forgiven. They'd start living boldly for you. Free, full of joy and happiness. God, I know there are some here today that they haven't taken that step to make your son their Savior and Lord. And God, I pray today they take that step. They'd start really living. They'd be set free. God, give them the strength to just take that step. Begin anew. God, I thank you for your grace. It is truly amazing. God, I pray that we would live each and every day in it. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. And God's people said, let's worship together.